Hey everybody, and welcome to another edition of Rider Club Radio. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And this week, we watch Kamen Rider Ghost Episode 31, Animal Sentai Juojer Episode 14, and Kamen Rider Amazons Episode 6. We had a big heap and helping this week.
A big heap and helping. I watched the Allen special, the first...
I didn't. Fuck that.
You didn't miss anything, but I watched... decided to take 12 minutes out of my day and watch the Legendary Hero Allen Episode 1, so I'll talk about that. The Legend of the Hero Allen, something like that. It's something about legends.
It has Hero in it, which is fucked up.
Yeah. He's not a heroic guy.
I didn't watch that, so I'm looking forward to hearing what happened in it.
Yeah.
What happened this week on Kamen Rider Ghost Episode 31, Liam?
Okay, so... Episode 31 of Super Sentai, one of the Ganmizers starts turning everyone into kids, and they all think they're kids. They're like, they start playing hitting each other.
And then Sun Vulcan has to save the day.
Yeah, Sun Vulcan has to do a backflip and throw a ball and blow somebody up. It's like a Sentai episode. It's weird, but anyways.
It's also weird because it's treated so nefariously. Like, the villains are doing something so evil and dark.
Yeah.
Of the music and the way it's lit and the way it's shot.
It's the big villain is in his evil. He's like, yes, this is perfect. This will help me fucking murder all of humanity. They're all children.
What an interesting power. And then it cuts to the children running around a room playing and having a good time.
Instead of, Adele should be going, wow, this is stupid. Can't you, like, you know, throw a nuke or something?
Can't you just fucking kill them? Why are you turning them into children?
How about you shoot a laser that murders them? How about you revert them into not existing?
Yeah, you know the laser that shoots through them? Why don't you just make that, like, a real laser? And it'll kill them when it hits it. Much better.
No, this is interesting, though. This is what an interesting game. Get a coin ready from Naria.
Could you imagine how fucked up it would be if those lasers did just murder everyone they hit? And, like, Shibuya's mom is just fucking dead.
That would be real comedy. That would be some Kuga shit if just people started dying from lasers flying out of the sky. And they were like, what do we do? And hundreds of people are killed before they figured it out.
That's what they could have done. I hate to get into what they could have done already before we're even done with the description of this episode.
Who cares?
But they could have had the laser kill people. That would have been a really good early Heisei-style thing. The laser murders them, and Shibuya just got off the phone telling his mom, fuck you, mom, you don't own me anymore.
Oh, I know where you're going.
And his mom gets murdered, and then he has to make peace with her ghost.
Wow.
Through Takeru's abilities.
Wow, Jeff, that's such a stupid fucking idea. It has human gravitas and ghost drama in this show about ghosts. That's stupid.
Who would want to watch that shit?
Yeah, why don't you fuck off? You're not a professional.
Although the end of this episode does show 100% the audience for what this show is supposed to be, when a commercial for vitamin C drink just has toddlers in it with the riders. I saw that, and I just came completely out of my rider enjoyment bubble into the real world to look at myself. And it wasn't a pretty picture.
I'm going to stop you right there and say that Ghost put you in a rider enjoyment bubble? I think you're lying, sir.
You've seen through my ruse.
Yeah. For the sake of the story, though, I understand. Anyways, so everyone's turning into kids. And Shibuya's mom is angry at him over the phone because she wants him to take over a sushi place? A ramen place?
It's a ramen place.
It's a ramen place. She wants him to take over the ramen place, and he doesn't want to. He wants to be a ghost hunter, I guess, for his whole life. And
He wants to be an inconsequential secondary character, is what he wants to be.
He wants to be a professional background stander. That's his dream. So he has a fight with his mom over it, and they don't really resolve it. And his mom gets turned into a child. So they go around and they start destroying these gates because Necrom says, oh, there's these ghost gates. This is the plan. There's ghost gates all over the city, and they're going to link them up to create a big gate. So let's blow them up just by shooting at them.
This is like a side quest in an RPG.
Yeah, this is like an MMO. Destroy 6 ghost gates. So they destroy the ghost gates and nothing of consequence happens, but they find Shibuya's mom. And Shibuya's mom is a kid. She has only her child memories. So she's like, I'm not your mom. I'm like 8 years old. I'd have to lead the most fucked up life ever.
Oh, yeah.
For that to happen. And
she had to have pre-birthed him.
Oh, my God. I heard that shit happens in the National Enquirer. I read it in the paper.
Yeah, the Bat Boy.
The same.
The bearded lady had pre-birthed children together.
Yeah. It's fucked up, man. So Shibuya, they take the mom and they keep her in the shrine with all the other children. Some ex-principal just brings a bunch of children and just they just all keep them at the shrine.
He's like, by the way, I used to be a principal, so I know these children are adults.
That's how
since
I'm on...
we need some sort of fucking plot contrivance so that we know that these children used to be adults.
Yeah, that's how I'm on a first-name basis with all of these children, and I know all of them. So just keep
not
them...
not for any of the reasons you guys thought.
So just keep them in your fucking shrine and don't let them leave. So they run around, they hit each other, and they put Shibuya's mom there as well. And
the principal gets turned into a kid too, but fuck, that doesn't matter. Who cares?
It's just to write him out. Instead of having him walk off the set, they decided to turn him into a kid, and he runs off. Who cares? Who gives a fuck? So he runs off. And then Igor introduces Gyro, the new villain, Seiji Takayua.
He doesn't, like, walk on screen and go, hey, kids, it's Gyro!
He might as well. Gyro is the new Javert, and they literally say that. He's Javert's replacement. He's the big, tough guy.
So don't expect him to be around for very long.
What's the next upgrade? Infinity, right? No one's getting anything after Infinity.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done when Infinity shows up, I'm sure.
Is Javert, like, living in a dumpster somewhere? Like, just eating out of trash bins behind food places?
Javert is living a romantic comedy right now that we're never going to see.
All these spin-off shows that would be so much better than Ghosts that we'll never get.
It's because we're imagining them as being great. I would still watch a Shibuya Narita spin-off, like a buddy comedy.
I would, too. I like how Narita is the only one who knows Shibuya at all.
Yeah, everyone else, he's just the glasses guy.
And he's like, it's not like him to be so perturbed by something. And I'm like, is it?
And yeah, is everyone else not? Is like, is it really not? Yeah. Thanks, Narita, for the insight.
We're probably getting the names mixed up.
No, I know. Shibuya's the glasses one. I remember. Okay. They're my favorite characters, so
which,
I know.
Which one am I?
I don't know. They're both the same. They're interchangeable.
They're literally, like, the first player, second player in an NES game.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
They're Billy and Jimmy. It's not fucking important. So, they fight Gyro, but they can't beat him. And they have to run away, because he's so tough.
Yeah, Gyro apparently has fucking Prince of Persia Sands of Time abilities, and they can't compete against that shit.
He rewinds time, and he undoes all their attacks, so they're like, well, fuck this, we're running away. And then Professor Igarashi, if you remember, he's from like episode 12 or something, the one with Ganyu.
When he first showed up, and Kanan is like, who the hell are you? I was like, yeah, who the fuck are you?
He shows up and starts to tell everyone about what happened all those years ago, those 10 years ago. And how the ghost portal went so wrong. And just when we see the beginning of that flashback, that's the end of the episode. So, Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider Ghost episode 31?
I don't feel feelings anymore.
If you did, give us an approximation.
It wasn't awful. I wasn't, like, disturbed by anything in it. I didn't feel like the show was talking down to me any worse than usual.
Okay. I guess that's a glowing review.
I know, I'm not giving you much here. I liked seeing Seiji Takayua.
Yeah, it was cool to see him in a face role in Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen often.
It's a fairly easy role, I guess. He's just like stoic man.
He's Javert with a headband.
He does seem threatening.
Yeah.
Which is all he needs to be.
He's got time reversal. That's pretty cool.
That's a cool power. It sucks that he's just Ultima again.
Yeah, everyone's... Didn't Adele use Ultima when he first appeared?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ultima's just the one that people toss between each other, just like Javert, I guess. It's just a thing they give to everyone.
Maybe there's, like, ranks. Like, the normal rank is the hoodie monster, and then the next rank up is Javert's. And then after that is Ultima's.
I guess so. How many Ultimas
do
they have?
And the Ganmisers.
Why don't they just give Ultimas to everyone?
You know, the first Gan Miser was kind of scary because he could burn you alive in his body or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Because he was made of fire, and fire is scary.
Yes, fire
is pretty
scary.
These two new Gan Misers seem to have the ability to transform people into children. How terrible. How awful.
Truly a curse. Like I said, it's like a Super Sentai episode. It's like, It's like if they imagine if they raised their hands up and lowered all the children's test scores in Japan to ruin the children and ruin Japan's future. That's exact. It's so silly looking. It feels like a Super Sentai episode.
Even the people's reaction to being transformed into children is straight out of fucking Super Sentai. They're transformed and they go, "Ara, ara, ara."
And then they immediately start running around and playing and doing cartwheels and hitting each other.
What a terrible fate for those people to have to suffer through.
Yeah, I guess you can tell by now I don't really like this episode. With a few exceptions, I love that we're getting something with Shibuya. I love that they're just doing anything with his character.
Started, like, actually speaking in this episode, I was genuinely shocked.
As soon as he answers the phone, you're like, oh? What is this?
They're doing something with their side characters?
I can't fucking believe it. Just get this Takeru guy off the screen. I'd like to see this more
Shibuya and Naruto.
Yeah, so he's... They're adding some sort of... That's the thing that Ghost has sort of lacked since the very beginning, is just some fucking element of human drama.
Mm-hmm.
Just any sort of... Like, a good story, I think, or a good superhero story or whatever, is something where you can sort of strip away the faff and the belts and the special effects and have some sort of human drama at the center of it. Some sort of human conflict.
We watch television shows to see other human beings.
We engage in stories in general, like it's about people.
Even when, like, a show or a movie or a book or anything is about some weird fucking alien creature, they still have the same emotions and thoughts and struggles as a human being.
Yeah, it has to have some kind of point. It has to be about a person dealing with a conflict, be it inner or external or something. So it's really refreshing to see this guy who's like kind of acts like a real person and is a normal character named Shibuya, and his mom is thrusting her dreams on him and he doesn't wanna, and it's like, oh, okay. This is something that a normal person might be able to relate to and actually, like, feel something about.
Nobody relates to the interfamilial conflict between dead people who rule an alternate dimension.
Because they're all weird, and they live in this weird alternate universe, and they act like aloof aliens.
Yeah, they don't have human emotion. That's specifically brought up, but we're supposed to feel emotions for them?
At least for Alan, and Alan...
This ain't fucking Data from Star Trek. We don't feel emotions for these characters we have no investment in.
Yeah.
Data from Star Trek, you see his struggle trying to become human from the beginning.
Mm.
Alan detests humanity. Why the fuck should I care what he goes through? He has no emotions and detests humanity. Now that he's learned... And it took for fucking ever, and they went back on it several times, and we got to the logical conclusion like 4 times. I can start caring about his character now. I haven't, but I can.
You might sometime in the future.
People love Alan, is what I found out. Every time we talk shit about Alan, somebody's like, I love Alan.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck him.
What I don't like about Ghost's characters, like I said before, none of them feel real, but this really adds to it, is they don't wear clothes, they wear costumes.
That's true.
They have a ridiculous, like, if you go back, this isn't a new thing, like, Drive's characters wore normal people clothes, and Gaim's characters change clothes all the time, with the exception of, like, Baron and them with their weird costume.
But in Double, they wore costumes.
Yeah, it's a...
I guess the only person who didn't wear a costume in Double was Akiko.
It's more of a post-decade thing, that they don't wear normal, like, Makoto always has that one costume.
Yeah.
And Takeru always has that one costume.
Even if you go back to shows where people had one costume, kind of, that they wore, it was still regular clothing.
Yeah.
Like, you see fucking... It was very strange to go from a series where everyone wears the same sort of normal... Or the same sort of costume to, like, Blade... Where they wear, like, fucking parkas and shit, because it's cold. They're just dressing like normal human beings.
Yeah, in Agito, when it's raining, they got a parka on. They got a poncho.
Yeah, they're wearing, like, thick-ass gloves and parkas and shit. It's not fashionable at all. And then you see, fucking every Ghost character has clothing that you can buy. You can go on the website and purchase it right now.
That's disgusting.
Who would sell Kamen Rider themed clothing? That's disgusting.
They're trying to make money off of Kamen Rider? That's
it's despicable. Who would ever do such a thing?
I just don't like it. It lends this sort of weirdness to them that makes them... It's just another step in, like, I can't relate to anybody here. I guess Akari wears normal clothes.
Not really. She wears stupid geek clothes. She changes all the time, but none of them are normal.
That's... If I saw Akari walking down the street, I would not... I would not look back.
I'd be like, why is that woman wearing shorts with pants underneath them, and the shorts are attached to overalls?
It's new fashion, okay? You don't understand, Jeff.
You're old. I literally don't. Also, I want to point out a few minutes ago when I was making a joke about how despicable it is to sell Kamen Rider merchandise. It was a joke. I know I sell it. Don't write in to tell me I'm a hypocrite.
Finally, we got the viewers, and now it's time to make money on Rider Club Radio. This is the end game.
Except Liam is not seeing a dime of it. Yes. So if you hate Liam, buy all the clothes.
If you're worried, if you're like, oh god, I don't want to give Liam money, don't worry. Just buy the clothes.
He didn't make any of the designs, god damn it.
So we talked about Ghost. I liked that they did something with Shibuya. Or they're doing something with Shibuya.
That's pretty much the only good point in the episode. I mean, the action was alright.
The action is Ghost action, but I also like the ending. I like the bit where the sage steps out. And they're like, oh, it's like, this is first contact. And it's like, it's kind of interesting. It's this weird sort of interesting sci-fi fantasy blend. And it feels like something that could be out of a pretty neat movie if it wasn't in Ghost.
Yeah.
That like, it's these scientists establishing first contact. And one of them's got like a secret agenda. And there's probably something interesting going on there.
It's
that
a lot more
see.
Interesting than the actual plot of Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by a fucking mile.
And the weird thing is, Ghosts or Takeru sees Sionji.
Yeah.
And he's like, Sionji, what is he doing here? And I'm not entirely convinced that he didn't learn this already.
I think he knows.
I think he learned that Sionji was there before Sionji died.
Maybe he was confused because he's like standing in a memory, which he hasn't done yet.
Maybe.
And he's like, what's Sionji doing in my basement?
I guess that would make more sense, but he's like, what's Sionji doing here? Not like, why is the sage here talking to them?
Why is the entire surrounding different?
Why is everything sapiotoned?
Why is my father alive?
Sionji, this makes no sense. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Dad. What's up?
His dad looks like not that much older than him.
Nah, no. It was 10 years ago.
Like 10 years older than him, tops.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I've always thought that. I'm like, man, he had him young.
Yeah, and it happens, man.
10-year-old?
No, the flashback is 10 years ago, remember?
Okay.
So he's 20 years old.
He looks exactly the same in, like, modern shit, though, like when he meets him in the ghost world.
Because he died when he was... He's not gonna age as a ghost.
How do you explain the fucking sage?
The sage died
old. He's knocking on death's door.
The sage died old.
He's old as fuck.
He died of age, probably. Just like probably. The takoyaki lady.
Is the takoyaki lady gonna join the royal family?
Oh, fuck me. I hope she's gone. For good.
We still see her every fucking episode now.
Yeah, we're gonna get
It's only
flashbacks.
Been one, but...
Oh, don't you care so deeply about the takoyaki lady?
And everybody, every time she appears, she, like, in slow motion goes, takoyaki's delicious, have some! I would be very surprised if there wasn't a takoyaki service that Kamen Rider was doing across promotion with right now.
Someone came to Toei's offices and they were like, they gave him a big metal suitcase full of cash. And they were like, just have fucking takoyaki be in there. I don't care how you work it in. These stupid kids will not
just
care.
Just have it be the whole series. They were like, alright, takoyaki's round. What else is round? Eyes? Oh my god, that's great.
We've got something here.
Let's work this out.
It's just like Kabuto with tofu.
There's powerful, so much tofu.
The powerful tofu lobby is behind Kabuto. And now we have the takoyaki lobby.
And there was the donut lobby that was behind Wizard.
Wizard, yeah. I don't mind that. You don't need to advertise to me to eat a donut.
No, you really don't. If there's a donut in my vicinity, I'll be eating it. I still haven't had a plain sugar donut. That's what he ate all the time.
Yeah, those are good.
Never had one. I've had glazed.
plain. Sometimes I like complex donuts. I like maple with Boston cream. I like some powder with like strawberry jelly.
Liam, you like maple?
Yeah. Oh, who knew? Maple donut. But sometimes, every now and again, I like to walk into Tim's and get me a nice... You know Tim's, right? They have Tim's in America, right?
They do. There's one in the next town all over.
Oh, I love... Okay, in Canada, it's like McDonald's. It's like every three blocks, there's a Tim's.
McDonald's is like Starbucks, right? It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Every now and again, I like to stroll into Tim's and get just a nice plain donut. No sugar, no nothing on it. And they're pretty good. They're good to have.
I want a plain sugar donut. I really do. They look real good when Haruto's stuffing them into his fucking unemotional ass face every episode. They are good.
They're good donuts. Speaking of Kamen Rider Ghost, I don't know if I have much else to say about this episode. So much of it is just like this. The gates feel completely inconsequential.
Yeah.
They say,
this is a filler episode if there ever was one.
Here's some gates, we gotta blow them up, and then it just cuts to a bunch of scenes of them shooting at gates until they explode. Okay, I don't care.
This is, like, 15 minutes of footage of Goku running on Snake Way that they keep cutting away to.
Oh, that's why I didn't watch the anime.
Dude, the anime has a filler part that is fucking... This podcast isn't even about Kamen Rider anymore.
Who gives a shit? We don't have any news this week. We gotta pat it out with something.
Way to pull back the curtain and let him see behind it.
Yeah, well.
The anime has these really awesome filler parts, and I know that's like a fucking sin. You're not allowed to say filler parts are awesome, but Dragon Ball Z anime has this awesome part where Goku falls off of Snake Way and ends up in Hell, the home for infinite losers.
Oh, yeah.
And he has to find his way out of it.
Yeah.
And... like, outsmart the Oni that run it. It's fucking amazing. And there's also another one where he stops at Princess Snake's castle.
This is like all while he's on Snake Way?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
While he's on Snake Way, the owner of Snake Way, Princess Snake, he stops at her castle and she tries desperately to fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's too stupid to realize that's what she wants.
Of course.
And he, like, bumble fucks around her castle, like, thinking she wants him to do, like, chores and stuff for her. And then she turns into a horrible snake monster when he won't give it up, and he escapes with his life.
Wow. That's very Dragon Ball-esque.
It really is.
Yeah.
Anytime Dragon Ball stuff happens in Z is when I'm absolutely the happiest.
Yeah.
With Z.
I thought you were going to talk about the part where they learn how to drive cars. That's a famous one.
Oh, God, that's so good. The filler in Dragon Ball, except the fake planet Namek. That was shit. I hated that.
What the fuck?
When Krillin, Gohan, and Bulma are going to Namek, there's a filler part where they land on a planet that's a fake Namek. The two psychic aliens are making them think is Namek so that they can, like, harvest their organs or something. I don't know.
Wow.
And I don't really remember what their purpose was for doing it, but it goes on for fucking ever, and they're like, is this really Namek? Yeah, I guess so. Doop-de-doop-de-doo. That doesn't seem like Namek. Probably Namek. Doop-de-doop-de-doo.
That sounds stupid as fuck. I remember the guy that wrote the manga, Akira Toriyama, liked the car arc so much that he goes back now and says that that's canon.
Yeah, the car arc is fucking hilarious. It's straight up right out of Dragon Ball.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Anyway, Dragon Ball cast.
Are we done talking about Ghost? I liked a couple things, everything else is kind of lame.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, it didn't offend me in any way, like usual. It just seemed really dumb.
I'm interested to see where the thing with Shibuya and his mom is gonna go, but I have a feeling I'm gonna be disappointed.
It'll be wrapped up next episode. She'll turn back to normal and remember her experiences as a child and be like, oh my god, I know what it means to want things for yourself now. I'm sorry, Shibuya.
Oh shit. Write that down. Let's see what happens. She's obviously gonna, like, respect his individuality, but if it's actually because of that, I'm gonna piss all over myself while I watch that episode.
How is that different than usual?
I am interested to see more of the flashback with 10 years ago, too. I want to see how that pans out.
We'll probably see about 4 minutes of that at the beginning of the episode. There'll be like a hard open, and then before the opening credits. And after that, it'll be over.
Oh, you pessimist.
I've been watching Ghost for 31 fucking episodes. You're damn right I'm a pessimist. I learned better.
Oh, well. Jeff,
that's enough of talking about ghosts.
Do you want to hear some news?
You know what? I think I'll allow it again this
I have one new this week.
No news.
No
only
news.
One new.
A single new. So you remember those Kamen Rider icons, the legend icons?
Yeah, is this about, like, the fucking shiny ones they're putting
out? Yeah, it's about the shiny ones.
Jesus Christ, Liam.
There's literally nothing else. Nothing else happened in the world
tomorrow
of Kamen Rider.
Tomorrow they're gonna announce, like, Kamen Rider X's.
Kamen Rider X's and O's.
The sequel to Kamen Rider Amazon, Kamen Rider X's.
And we're gonna miss it. They're probably announcing it right this second they're holding a press conference.
It'll be on the Tokusatsu Network in about 15 minutes.
So if you wanted those Legend Rider icons and you were holding off, you can get a shiny version of them now that glints in the light.
Why? So often, when Toei makes decisions, I have to ask why?
I would say because money, but I don't even know if that comes into play here. I'm not sure if someone sat down and thought, yeah, this'll make us fucking hand over fist, we'll be drowning in dollars.
Children love shiny shit.
I think they're just trying to, like, get collectors. Because I know I've heard people in Japan complaining where, like, a lot of times they put a Kamen Rider toy on the shelf, and people instantly buy it up so they can shill it on eBay.
Mm.
And I guess that's advantageous for Toei in the end, as long as they're getting bought off of the toy store shelves.
Yeah, they don't care who gets it.
But then again, scalpers... Yeah, well, as long as the scalpers keep buying them off the toy store shelves, yeah. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe they're just trying to, like, fuck with those people. Like, oh, there's only going to be one round of them, so you better buy them quick so you can sell them for $300 each on eBay in a few months.
And it works every time.
Yeah, it works.
There's a whole, like, economy in Japan based on shitty children's toys being scalped.
That's, like, half the purpose for eBay.
I'm actually sure there's probably an economy based on that in America, too, that goes from, like, trade show to trade show, like, convention to convention.
Yeah, with old Transformers and shit.
Yeah.
Old Star Wars toys from the 70s.
Battlestar Galactica action figures.
Oh, yeah, those are at a premium right now.
Do people like Battlestar Galactica? I've never seen it.
Me neither.
It's probably too smart for you, since you can't stomach Star Trek.
I can't stomach Star Trek because it sucks.
You have the worst taste of anyone I've ever known. I met a baby yesterday. The baby said goo goo gaga. It's got much better opinions than you.
Well, I'm sure if you showed that baby Star Trek, he'd probably say, this is great because I'm a stupid-ass baby.
What's your IQ? Say it right now.
My IQ is...
Say it.
My IQ is...
Dumber than a baby.
Look.
Called it.
Let's move on from news.
Well, I guess we gotta.
That was our top story tonight. Let's talk about Juojer.
This week on Animal Sentai Juojer, there was a thief.
There was Yu Thief.
His name is Yu Thief, excuse me.
Yeah, get it right. There's a U in front of it.
This was a goofy-ass episode, but there was weird stings of, like, real heavy shit in this episode.
See, this is why, I know we say this all the time, but Juojer gets everything right that Ghost gets wrong.
Yeah, it does.
In that the core driving conflict in this episode is a human drama about a guy trying to save his brother, or his sister. From dying of an illness. He needs the money to get the surgery. So it's simple, but you place in the middle of it one of the Sentais, and she has to deal with it. And she can, like, she interacts with it, and she talks them out, and she works, helps them work through their shit. And it's a compelling story.
It's
a compelling
little
thing.
Amu is, like, distractingly pretty.
I don't like Amu.
She's distractingly pretty.
I don't think she's terribly, I mean, she's no Salo.
You and shark tits, I swear. Anyway.
It was alright, you know.
This episode highlights Amu's character pretty well, I think. She cares a lot about other people.
Yeah, that's what her thing is. She's the super nice one.
She's very interested in other people's relationships and how other people feel about things. Like, almost in... It's an empathic way. She's not, like, detached like a scientist or something, but it's almost like she studies the way other people feel and think.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of, in a way, yeah.
Yeah, and she develops, like, a quick friendship with this, loser and his sick-ass sister.
Loser. He's a well-paid security guard, thank you.
Apparently not well enough, because she needs a surgery and he can't afford it, so the Monster of the Week gives him a fake ultimatum, where he's like, if you help me get the Jew-Ogers, I'll give you, like, 50 million yen.
50 million yen, which comes out to approximately $12.95 US. So he's a security guard and he's guarding some diamonds and the thief wants to steal them. So he says, get me in and stop the Jew-Ogers.
Yeah,
so,
even though like Janus would absolutely not be interested in that. He does not give a shit about wealth.
Yeah, I think that's working Janus in was kinda weird in this episode because the whole thing is like he's trying to steal money and she's like, Janus doesn't care about that. Steal jewels.
And she's like, steal something he would enjoy.
Yeah.
And U Thief is like, oh, well, he doesn't enjoy money. I'll get gems, because he's a fucking idiot. He doesn't know.
That's all he knows is money and gems.
He is a complete idiot. He wants to take over for the Death Galeon that died, that I completely forgot about.
The guy that looks like Sauron.
Yeah, who was the other player.
Yeah.
And he went out like a bitch real early.
Didn't even last through episode one. But I do like, I liked You Thief, and I liked the scene where he robs a bank, and it's like he sucks all the money up, and he's like, it goes in one hand, and I was like, oh my god, he's gonna shoot the coins out like bullets.
And he does.
He doesn't shoot them out like bullets, he shoots them out like he's just showering you in cash. And everyone's like, there's dollar bills.
He shoots
them
out like an air cannon. Like a hand pump air cannon, he just goes, foom!
He's truly the worst villain. He redistributes wealth around the room. He takes all your cash and then redistributes it equally to everybody in the room.
At the end of the episode, like, the briefcase full of money falls on the ground in front of the security guard. And he's like, oh, and I'm like, is he gonna steal those people's money? Is this episode just gonna completely gloss over the fact that that's not money that came from nowhere? But it didn't.
It didn't, no, he turns it in.
This episode ends on, like, a downbeat note, really.
Well, he doesn't have the money, but, you know, he's not a criminal, so.
Yeah, he's not a criminal. He's gonna keep trying, but he's depressed as fuck about it, and you could tell.
Well, I think he made the right choice.
I agree. You can also tell Leo has no fucking clue of human emotions at all. Like, everybody else is like, oh, it's so sad, and he's, like, smiling, patting people in the back. Good job.
Good job, yeah, nice job beating up those monsters. That's the fun thing about Jew-Oger is you can take any episode and imagine, like, any... Say the episode where Tusk has to work in a bookstore and imagine, like, well, what if it was Leo instead? And you can think the whole episode would go completely differently.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're all so different. And it's... This episode also has a neat kind of, like, little angle of... you always think, like, it's such a normal situation of, like, you have to do something bad to get the money to do something good.
Mm-hmm.
And it has that little... That little, like, I know I'm on about it so much this week, but, like, it's a little relatable tinge that's like, oh, you know, you think, like, what would I do in that situation?
Exactly. It's... When he's, like, confronted with the money and shit, like, if he doesn't take this money, his sister's probably going to die.
Or at least have no legs for a long time.
And it's highly, like, hinted at that she's gonna die. He says, if I can't get this money, my sister will...
He says she'll never get better.
Yeah.
Which has bad implications.
Yeah.
So it's
she'll get worse until she's in a grave, is the implication.
It's an actual moral quandary where it's like, is it okay to just let this guy steal some jewels so that I can save my sister's life? And, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have caved as easily as he did when the heroes are like, what you're doing is wrong.
Literally all he's doing is taking some shiny rocks. I think it's fine.
Like, I'll
let it slide.
What you're doing is wrong. Your sister will be sad. I just wanted him to be like, she'll be alive.
She'll be alive so that she can be sad. Yeah. If it was like, hold the Jew-Ogers while I perpetrate 17 9/11s like all the other monsters do, then maybe there'd be more of a moral quandary, but it's...
I wonder how often we reference 9/11 on this show.
Well, Jew-Oger brings, it brings the memory back. I still haven't forgotten.
Never forget.
Yeah.
Never forget that time a Death Galeon committed 17 9/11s on Tokyo.
Remember when the big bite monster ate, like, three buildings?
Yeah.
They're probably full of people?
Oh, yeah.
Good God, there's so many implied deaths in this show.
and then they sing and dance after the credits.
which animal is the box in?
It's never the one you think it is.
Never the one you think it is. It was blue today.
For no reason.
Well, there's no white box.
Sayla had like two lines in the episode.
That's what I like about Georgia. I know some other Sentai series do this where like the red dude,
Yamato,
still is like a side character kind of. It's because it's all about this one character. It's so focused. Yeah. I like that. They don't try to mess it up. They don't try to include too much shit. It's just, you know, focus on one of them. That's fine.
They're really good at splitting focus on two characters as well.
Like, yeah.
Episodes that share main characters are always just as good as episodes that focus on one.
The Leo and Sayla episode is one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about the Leo and Amu one, where they're searching for the box.
Oh, the Yamato and Amu one, you mean? Where
Yamato and Amu.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Next episode is Leo and Tusk.
Oh, that's gonna be good.
Yeah, two best characters.
That. They're exact opposites.
They're like a perfect comedy duo. Like a big goofy-ass dude and a complete total straight man.
The straight man, yeah. The bokeh and the tsukomi, as the Japanese like to say.
I don't speak Japanese, sir.
One guy has a fan and one guy makes silly faces. That's how it is.
Okay. I understand completely now.
That's all you need to know.
Hundreds of years of Japanese comedy thanks to that. Thank you.
It's almost, you understand almost as well as if a giant mutant grasshopper told it to you on your shoulder.
Wakata!
Wakata!
You're just confused about half our audience, but...
No, I'm sure they all saw Zetto. Come on. What are you doing here if you ain't seen Zetto?
You go watch it right now. Fuck the rest of this podcast. So that was Juojo's. We both enjoyed it.
That was, yeah, I don't, there hasn't been a single bad episode yet.
No, there have been episodes that are slightly less good than other episodes, but they're all fairly consistently good.
It's varying degrees of enjoyment.
Yeah, as opposed to Ghost, which is varying degrees of frustration.
I've liked a few Ghost episodes,
yeah,
genuinely.
There are a few dots here and there that I've enjoyed.
It's mostly pretty boring, though. Ghost episodes feel like twice as long as Juojo episodes.
You know, you're right. You're very right.
They feel like they're an hour long.
I actually watched the Amazons episodes, which are an hour long.
Well, these ones, they were like 44, like 50 minutes when they started, and now they're like 35. They're shrinking.
Well, I watched like the first ones, and it didn't feel anywhere near as long as watching an episode of Ghost.
Because Amazons and the first episode, like the first two episodes of Amazons especially, are really engaging.
Speaking of
Amazons, I guess we're going to segue in there.
Let's segue into Kamen Rider Amazons Episode 6. What'd you think of this episode, Liam?
I liked it a lot more than the last one, I must say.
I can agree with that. I watched them back to back, so I had a lot of trouble separating them, and I might still.
Like I said, everything in the tunnel was Episode 5, and then the very end of the porcupine sequence onwards is Episode 6.
Yeah, speaking of the porcupine sequence, I heard through the grapevine that you were none too happy with that sequence.
Before I talk about it, let's give a little overview. He does a porcupine thing, they kill the big turtle monster, or they immobilize it, and they drag it back to base, and Haruka goes back to base, and the monster breaks out, he finds his resolve, and there's a big fight. That's the episode.
There's a lot of other shit that happens in the episode, but...
But at the beginning, this is one of the problems I had. What I like about the episode is that it took this very Kuga Agito-style episode before, and which was very formulaic, very by the book,
mm-hmm.
and then expanded it into something bigger and something more related to the actual plot. It segues into from an early Heisei style episode to a very unique little Amazons episode in its weird sort of two-parterness.
Besides the fight at the end and like the little bit of porcupine at the beginning, there's really not a whole lot of action in it. It's almost completely focused on character interaction.
Yeah, it's all intrigue, which is what mm-hmm. Amazons does really well.
It does.
But back to this porcupine business.
Sure.
You talked, I think it was it last episode or a couple episodes ago, about how everybody is constantly shitting on Haruka all the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So in this episode, the monster is attacking his future girlfriend, and they're trying to save her, and Haruka's like, "Don't touch my fucking future girlfriend!" And all these spikes come out, and it impales the monster, and presumably kills it. That's what they think at
the
time.
Yeah, it misses and absolutely everyone else.
Nobody else gets harmed. And the spikes retract, and they're like, wow, kid, that was a really shitty move. Fuck you. You suck. I don't want you on the team. And they leave.
Yeah, they all, like, stand around him and piss on him. Like, why is that in a fucking TV show?
That was so awful how you perfectly executed the mission with no casualties.
Yeah, he gets, like, literally shit on.
That's when my patience for the team starts to run a little thin. We're like, come on, you guys are all assholes. Like, you have
why
to...
are you treating... He's like a fucking wounded animal. He's always, like, retreating into himself and, like, almost crying, and they're like, you're a fucking idiot, you stupid asshole.
I get that's Haruka's arc, is that he's kind of unsure of himself, and he's unsure of whether he wants to be an Amazon or not. You don't have to exasperate it like that at this point. We get it.
That's kind of a Japanese storytelling kind of thing. I'm not sure why. Maybe it comes out of, like, stage plays being so important to the way Japanese cinema developed.
Uh-huh.
But it's sort of the same thing in productions in England and, like, even in America of, like, Shakespearean stuff or stuff that's been a play before. Yeah. Where people tend to overact. In Japanese stuff, it's not so much overacting, it's repeating the same ideas to get it across to the audience, who might not be paying attention during all of it, because it's a play.
Yeah, it's true.
And this is like a complete outsider's point of view or something, but everything Japanese I've ever seen tends to hammer the point home way harder than anything like Western does.
Yeah.
It's also far more blunt.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, like, implications in Japanese media, especially not in Kamen Rider, where it's like, even Amazons is still probably watched by kids. A lot of kids are, like, young,
it's like
teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, like, you can't make anything super cryptic about it. There's nothing terribly difficult to understand in Amazons for a younger audience.
It's
so I guess,
all, like, information that's being doled out piece by piece, so you don't have all of it, but none of it's, like, leading somewhere for you to figure out.
Yeah. And nothing is implied. Everything is given to you as it becomes important, at least. So it's that kind of problem, but I think that's a wider problem than just Amazons.
Yeah.
Still, that scene pissed me off. It felt unnecessary.
I can agree with that.
And
it didn't bug
about...
me as much as you. Because, like, I guess he could have impaled somebody. He wasn't looking. He, like, curls into a fetal position or whatever. But it should have just been, like, you don't know what you're doing and you're dangerous. We're going to leave.
Instead
of,
been...
like, you fucking shit sack. How dare you?
What it should have been was have the sniper dude get clipped in the shoulder. Not like, run through, but just, like, have it clip him and cut him. And then they'd be like, ah, what the fuck, man, that could have killed me. Like, a real, real close call like that to drive it home.
But everyone's completely unscathed by it.
I don't think that's pure luck. I don't know.
I don't understand what it means to be an Amazon yet. I mean, maybe that's... I'm not talking, like, thematically. Mm. I mean, physically.
Like, you turn into a monster.
You turn into a monster, that makes sense. But when, like... When Amazon Omega is wearing the belt, he just pulls fucking weapons out of it all the time? Is that in there normally?
I think that's the belt's enhanced combat function or whatever.
Like, he pulls fucking spears and whips and shit out of it?
Yeah. That belt sure is something.
And now he's a porcupine?
Well,
What is this? Why?
Look, Amazons are... They're monsters that people don't fully understand, I think is the thing.
I don't fully understand them either.
I don't think we're supposed to as an audience.
It's not important to the story at all.
And I think that's why they drag the corpse of the turtle monster back, because they're like, oh, this is like an intact... Usually they melt. We got someone intact. Let's take him back and see if we can, you know, understand him a little better.
I guess he's not really a turtle monster. He's like a cocoon
he's
monster.
He's like a pupa. I thought he was a turtle.
He looked a little bit like a turtle.
I thought he looks like a kappa.
We've had a lot of trouble telling the animals that these things are supposed to be so far, though.
This one's a moth, I know for sure.
Yeah,
the
he
one
is
that
a
hatches
moth.
Out. Yeah, that's unmistakable.
He has a hat. Like, I can suspend my disbelief to a point, right? Like, the wings become a cape.
Yes.
Like, the fur becomes a mantle.
Yes.
But he has a hat.
Well...
Did he go to the haberdashery?
Shut the fuck up. I really like the design on the moth monster.
I do so too. It's a cool design.
I'll let the hat slide.
Why does he have a hat?
Because go fuck yourself.
I'm questioning the internal logic of a children's television program.
I guess
it's not even the point of it at all.
Well, I mean, like, internally, why on earth would this Amazon evolve to have a hat? But it's a nice design.
He evolved to block out the sun from his sensitive eyes.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
He evolved to it doesn't matter.
You were talking last week about Mamoru being maybe actually mentally fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I believe you just yet. I think he is really just supposed to be a quirky weirdo. I think the scene with the baby toys was just a joke or something, like a little gag.
Yeah, I think it was a gag.
Because he still strikes me as the same as he always was. Just like, I care about cheeseburgers and the team.
Yeah, he's like an adult.
He's a full-grown adult, but he's just a fucking dumbass.
Kamen Rider tends to have characters that, like, if you were to actually, like, apply psychology to them in any way, shape, or form, they would be, like, horrifically fucked up. Like, there's a dude in O's I'm watching right now who constantly has a tiny little creepy white doll on his shoulder.
Oh, I know that guy.
And he can only talk to the doll. When somebody knocks the doll off of him, he goes into fucking hysterics.
Okay.
And I can't take this man seriously. He, like, talks in, like, this deep, evil voice all the time until somebody knocks the doll off of him, and then he goes crazy.
That's funny. I guess that's kind of a Kamen Rider thing, where, like, they're supposed to be normal people, or, like, you know, weird people, but they're not fucked up.
There's a dude in Double who just drops shit constantly.
That's his thing?
It's not even brought up, or no attention is ever brought to it by any of the characters. He'll, like, be holding something, and his facial expression will never change, and he just drops it. And it breaks on the ground.
He's doing it on purpose?
Maybe.
What a mysterious character.
He is, like, a very important character to the show, so I can't really go into too much about him, but he that's his thing. He drops shit.
Okay.
He drops his Gaia memory to transform. He drops it, and it floats and goes in his belt.
Oh, just like Kamen Rider 15.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Kamen Rider characters have weird traits a lot. Sometimes I think, like, he's the one who has the absolute fucking weirdest trait that is never explained or expanded upon in any way, shape, or form.
I think it's the writers being like, oh, we gotta give this guy a thing. He's gotta have a thing.
Something memorable. And he absolutely is memorable. He's one of the most memorable characters from Double to me, because I still wonder, why the fuck did he drop stuff so much?
Hey, I mean, as long as he's memorable, I guess.
Anyway, back to Amazons.
My absolute favorite thing about this episode is the evolving dynamic between Jin and Haruka.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're straight-up enemies now, it seems like. He's like, Jin says, oh, I injected myself with the Amazon cells, I'm gonna kill all the Amazons. And Haruka's like, you mean, like, you're even gonna kill Moru? You might even kill me? He's like, All of them.
Yeah,
I'm not fucking around.
And Haruka's mom is like, do you mean the escaped Amazons? And he says, no, all of them.
So it's like, it's setting up a sort of weird relationship where, like, even though they work together sometimes, they're probably going to have to kill each other at some point. Which is really interesting to me.
Which is what Liam wanted from Ghost, really, between Ghost and Spectre.
Yeah. It's that extra layer that makes you wonder where it's all going to go. It makes you wonder how it's going to end, because you're not sure.
Well, thematically, it makes sense. Like, character-wise, it makes sense that these two characters wouldn't end up working together completely on the same side.
It's been set up that way from the start,
You think about Ghost, from where Alan began as a character, even to where he's grown now, why the fuck would he be working with Takeru? He hated his guts!
In Ghost, it doesn't feel natural. In Ghost, it feels like he starts that way, and then they're like, oh, well, we gotta turn him good. With this one, it feels like it's been building up to this kind of relationship from the very beginning. It sets up, that's what their characters are like, they're naturally gonna come into conflict. With Alan, it feels like he starts that way, and then they're like, okay, it's time for him to change.
You know what's
and
funny?
And then he changes.
What's funny is there's, like, the triumphant takoyaki scene that we made fun of so hard last time. Which, by the way, is still the dumbest fucking thing that's been in Ghost so far.
That's probably the number one stupidest scene in Ghost.
And some people love it and, like, argued for it. I'm not gonna argue you and your terrible taste. That's
goofy
as fuck.
Yeah, I don't know.
There is a triumphant food-eating scene in Kamen Rider Amazon's episode 6 that works fucking perfectly.
That is 10 times better and is set up like 3 episodes ago.
Haruka has a fucking cheeseburger, and he has half of a cheeseburger, and Jin's like, give it to me. And he's like, well, tell me the truth first. And Jin tells him the whole spiel about how he was a scientist, how he injected himself, how he's going to kill all the Amazons. And Jin's like, all right, now give me that burger, boy. And Haruka's like, nah, he eats the fucking burger. And then he gives this speech, like, right in front of Jin, who's like going, oh no, my burger.
Yeah.
And then he tells him, you know what? I'm your enemy now.
Fuck you.
You know what, Mom? I'm your enemy now. I'm gonna fight to fucking protect people and good Amazons, and I'll defeat anyone who stands in my way.
He finds his resolve, and let's hope to God he can hold on to it.
Yeah, I hope so. The world of Amazons is a harsh-ass world, so who knows? But
and Kamen Rider is a show where you can lose your resolve at any second. You can trip and drop that shit.
Haruka man the fuck up, and he fights the moth monster, and he kicks its ass. Even though it's still a struggle, he still struggles to kick its ass.
Yeah. It's always a bit visceral in Amazons.
It feels like the stakes are higher and the fights mean more when characters don't curb stomp other characters constantly.
It's just, it doesn't feel real if it's just a constant fuck show. It's gotta be some sort of struggle. It's gotta be a little even.
Yeah, like, they fight Ultima in this episode, and Ultima, like, curb stomps them. He fucks their day up. And there's nothing they can do about it. They have to run away. I bet within the next 2 or 3 times they fight Ultima, he's gonna win the next few times, and then they're gonna find their resolve and curb stomp the fuck out of him with no build-up whatsoever.
Yeah, it's never, like, a clever thing they figure out. I find this is a problem with Kamen Rider in general. Is, like, look at a superhero movie you'd see in the West, right? A lot of the time, the way they beat the villain is just they find out something clever to do. Remember in Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie, when he's fighting Obadiah Stane, and they're fighting, and they fly up into the sky, and Tony Stark is like, my armor, I made it so it doesn't freeze. Did you do that?
Yeah,
and
he Obadiah figured Stane that out like, earlier in the movie when he was joyriding.
Earlier, it's a clever little thing, but in Kamen Rider, it's often the way they beat the villain is just like, I got a new upgrade, I'm just gonna fucking
murder you. I'm stronger than you, I believe in myself more than you.
Yeah,
well,
I wish
about,
it was...
like, you go back to Kuga. Kuga defeats monsters by figuring out the best one of his forms to exploit in order to defeat them.
Yeah, and it results in some cool scenes sometimes. Like, I remember there's one where it's like I think it's an eagle, and he's flying around, and Kuga, like, snipes him from fucking, like, 3 kilometers using Titan. It's so cool.
Pegasus.
I always confuse them, but he snipes him from, like, 7 miles away, and it's a really neat scene. It's stuff like that. Stuff where they just figure out how to use their powers in a way.
It's not like a Western thing, either, because you look at something like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, where nobody out-strengths anybody. You win a fight in JoJo with your brain.
Yeah, it's clever use of your powers, yeah.
And it gets to, like, ridiculous heights in Part 2.
Oh my god, Part 2 is insane about that shit.
Joseph is like, you thought you did this, but I did this instead. So you thought I was gonna do that, but I did this.
But then the bad guy knew, but then JoJo knew that the bad guy
knew
and
planned
for that.
Yeah, the bad guy goes, Shibata!
It's all that shit. It's all just clever use of your powers.
I mean,
if
you think about it getting taken to the nth degree, like, to being ridiculous, think about, like, Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh my Christ. Yu-Gi-Oh! is pretty weird about that, too. They discover the craziest combos.
But, you know, being clever and figuring out how to defeat the villain is what we look for in a hero. We don't really want a hero who's, like, all-powerful. Who can just defeat anybody anytime.
It's more interesting.
People complain about Superman being too powerful like that, but every one of his villains is more powerful than him, or has a way to defeat him that he has to outsmart.
Yeah, you gotta remember, Superman doesn't fight street muggers very often.
He fights
gods and other dimensional beings.
And the
and
thing
shit.
About Metropolis in the comics is that street muggers and stuff are usually part of Intergang, which have, like, above Iron Man level technology, if you're gonna compare it. So the street thugs are running around with, like, ion cannons and power armor.
Well, you have to in that city.
Yeah, Metropolis up the game, the criminal game. But
it's,
you know,
it's an arms race.
Even with a character that has so many powers, you have to figure out a way to make the threat enough that you can't just use your powers to fix it.
You can't just shoot your laser eyes at it until it goes away. It's got to be something clever or interesting, or and just anything.
The most satisfying and successful stories in comics are always about characters going up against threats that they can't just outmuscle.
Yeah,
and you run into that problem with Batman a lot, really. Because Batman's like the world's greatest everything. Yeah. And all of his villains are just crazy people.
Yeah.
Like, what's the Scarecrow gonna do once Batman puts on a gas mask?
He's gonna...
What's the Joker gonna do once Batman punches him?
Well, Joker sometimes is like a mysteriously good hand-to-hand fighter. Yeah. For some reason. I never liked that sort of interpretation of him. It seems kind of weird, but sometimes he's just ridiculously good at punching things.
A lot of times, and I love this, when Batman catches, like, figures out the Riddler's riddles and gets through his holograms and all the shit, the Riddler just gives himself up.
Well, I would.
He's like, I'd rather you didn't punch me, so here.
Just fucking take me away. I'm going to jail with a concussion or without one, and I'll take the second one.
The Riddler is my favorite Batman villain.
Yeah, he's my favorite too. He's really good.
But
back to Ghosts.
We were talking about Amazons. That's a problem that is easy to overlook in a lot of series. But Ghost, it's very difficult to overlook, because it's literally just curb stomp, curb stomp, curb stomp. All right, I believe in myself, now I beat you.
That's why whenever we talk about the action in Ghost, it's always like, oh, it's a fight scene and that's over, because it's not interesting.
No, like I always describe, they run up and punch, and then the other person runs up and punches.
Yeah, there's nothing to say.
Every now and then somebody does like a mid-chest level kick.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of flashy effects. Shit. Yeah,
yeah, that's all you can say, really.
There's
nothing terribly visceral.
Amazon's is very visceral. There's not a whole lot of martial arts in Amazon's because they're horrible monsters.
Yeah, the only martial artist is
the lady on the team.
Yeah, that's true. The monster this week gets his fucking throat sliced open.
Yeah, and he sprays fake blood splatter everywhere.
He sprays digital blood all over the place that they thankfully won't have to clean up because it's digital.
You know what's fucking ridiculous?
What?
I was watching an episode of the Eric Andre Show.
Okay.
The show that Hannibal Buress is on.
Mm.
And Eric Andre pulls out a gun at one point and he points it at Hannibal Buress, who's in the background on the couch. And Hannibal's like, no, no, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he starts shooting him. And blood squibs explode out of
real
Hannibal
Buress.
Hannibal, like, real squibs.
Jeez.
And he falls back over the couch, and I'm like, this fucking Comedy Central show used real squibs for one scene, and an action show can't.
Yeah, well, the budget in Kamen Rider ain't infinite.
It makes sense when it's Toei. Toei's gonna cut every corner they can, but have you ever seen the Expendables movies?
No, I haven't.
They use digital blood splatters in those movies.
I bet. They seem like the kind of movie that would.
Which ruins the action.
If it's hard to not say, oh, if it only ruins the action if you could detect it, but it's almost always detectable with digital blood. Well, it's almost always really obvious.
The thing about digital blood is it just disappears. It, like, goes out in the air and then disappears.
Yeah, it doesn't look... It doesn't stick anywhere.
The Expendables movies have their moments, I guess.
Mm.
I mean, I don't hate them or anything. They're very inoffensive. It's a whole lot of remember this from this action movie you loved.
Remember the 80s.
Remember when these people didn't look like horrible beef jerky steroid abominations? Those were good times, right?
Yeah.
Remember when Sylvester Stallone didn't look like an old catcher's mitt?
He was great in Creed.
Yeah, he was, but he's playing an old man.
Yeah, he's
that's great. He was playing like a hotshot action mercenary in the Expendables.
Yeah, that's not really, maybe not the role for somebody that age.
No, he was great in Creed. You know what movie he was excellent in at the top of his game?
What?
Demolition Man.
Oh, Demolition Man is so good.
I fucking love that movie. I'm going to go watch it right after this, probably.
Back to Amazon's. Actually, are we done with Amazon's?
We're done with Amazon's. It was better than the last episode, for sure. I'm still really enjoying Amazon's.
Me too.
And especially since Haruka is developing as a character very rapidly.
Yeah, I like that.
He's not a static character. He's changing constantly the more he learns.
Yeah, it feels like the show is very much becoming about his journey.
There's a really great moment in, it might be the last episode, where Haruka goes home for a minute. And in the first episode where he's in that room, he's talking about how comfortable he is there, how he feels like it's his aquarium, his world.
Mm.
And he, the way it's shot, the way he acts, the way what he says, it's like he's in an alien environment.
Yeah.
It's like he can't stand to be there any longer because he knows too much.
Yeah, it takes on a different tone.
He thinks of it as a prison.
Yeah.
And that's conveyed so well. Amazon's does such a great job of conveying emotion and inner conflict.
Yeah, that's why I'm still watching it.
It's not for the digital blood splatters. It's not for Haruka's cutie pie sister.
No, it's not. Fuck's sake.
She's a cutie pie.
Well, she's no sailor.
You and shark tits, I swear. Why don't we read some emails?
Wait.
What?
This week I watched The Legend of the Legendary Legend
Why don't
Alan.
We read some emails?
Wait, I have something to say.
Go ahead.
It's shitty and it's like a weird comedy.
God.
Seriously, it's like the commercial has Alan crying, but it actually is a comedy. There's jokes about takoyaki, and they're like, oh, is that an icon? And then Javert's like, oh, is that an icon that he's eating? And yeah, okay, fuck this. But there's one important thing that really should have been in the show. And that's, it shows Alan coming to Japan in the year 1950. And he meets the takoyaki lady as a little girl while she's painting.
What?
And then he comes back in 65 and meets her as an older, like a young woman, and she's still painting. And that's is really, really important and should probably have been in the show because it, like, sets up the meeting for the first time. It sets up their relationship.
All right, I'm going to call bullshit on several points here.
Okay, all right, hit me.
The number one biggest bullshit point, when he comes to Earth for the first time in the show, he looks up and goes, oh shit, the sky's blue.
He says that, too. In 1950, he looks up and he's like, damn, their sky is blue. He notices it twice.
Did he get a fucking concussion between those years?
Yeah.
And, two, he didn't know that old bitch. He specifically said that he didn't know her.
He didn't recognize her, I guess, when she was old. Because he sees her once in 1950, once in 65, and then that's it.
Even after she's like, when I was young, I wanted to paint. I painted all the time.
Here's the thing. They set that up, too, because he meets another girl who paints, and he thinks it's her for a second. And he's like, oh, you're back, and you're painting. And she's like, who the fuck are you? And he's like, oh, sorry. And actually, she kicks him in the ass. But, you know, you get the point. Like, I guess he's like, oh, I guess a lot of people on Earth paint. It doesn't mean nothing, but it's very obvious that it's her.
God damn, Toei, really?
That, I think, if they had included that, like, really early on in the show, like, maybe when he first appears, have a flashback, where, like, oh, I came here in 1950, I met a little girl who painted, that would have been a little better as setup for his redemption. But
isn't
no,
there,
they
like,
saved
a
it
moment
for...
where, like, somebody's, like, his dad or something, or maybe Adele is like, have you finally gone to the human world and seen the way it is? And he's like, yeah, I have. Shouldn't he have been like, yeah, I did in 1950.
Yeah, it was great.
I met a woman who painted, who is absolutely not the takoyaki lady that I know now.
It's, yeah, they relegated it to a Blu-ray special for some reason.
Because it's stupid.
Look, just change some lines around, have that earlier on, and there you go. Bob's your uncle. You got a slightly better arc.
Toei's stupid. I hate him.
Yeah, sure. Let's do some emails.
I'm just kidding, Toei. Keep sending us them fat checks.
Cha-ching. Have you guys watched Kamen Rider Ghost yet? It's amazing.
It's the best show.
Best Kamen Rider show ever.
We only got one email this time around.
Alright, well, read it off. I'll put up with it.
It's from Alfie.
Okay.
Alfie says, hi guys. Love the podcast and the joy it brings to my test-busy life.
That's good.
Now the question. If you could give any writer or secondary writer one more form, who would it be and what would it do? Thanks for answering.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
I like this.
If I could give a secondary writer a form... There's going to be a lot of, like, silence where we try and figure this one out.
There's going to be a lot of dead silence. I think Gills deserves something.
He has exceed Gills.
Yeah, well, he deserves something else, I think.
Why?
Well, actually, no, two's plenty.
Yeah.
G3 only had two. God. This is hard.
It's really tough, isn't it?
I would have had one more survive in Ryuki. I think maybe...
Zolda?
I think Oja. Because Oja was a consistent villain throughout the whole... He should have gotten survive at some point.
That
would have
been
more of a threat. That's what I would have said. It would have been really, really good. What about you?
This is really a tough one. I feel like Hyper Gatak should have happened in the show.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that answers the question, really, but if in a perfect world, I think Hyper Gatak should have happened in the show.
Absolutely.
Let me think on an actual answer, though.
While we're on this, there are survive designs for a lot of Ryuki riders, but they were only toys. There is an Oja survive, there's a Raya survive, there is...
Do they all just have the front grille of a car on their chest?
No, they look pretty cool. Oja survive looks like a... Like, you know how it's got, like, the Pharaoh aesthetic that Oja has? It sort of extends it, so it's like a full headdress, and he has, like, a... His I don't remember exactly what it looks like. It looks very cool. It doesn't look lame
that
like the other two
awesome.
Survive designs. And Raya survive is fucking ridiculous too. His ponytail gets really long. It's really cool. Like, they're really cool looking, and I wish they could have been in the show. There was no Zolda survive though. There's some fan designs floating around, but nothing official.
You know, I was gonna say Chase for a second, but I think he has too many forms in general.
I wouldn't have minded some tire changes for Chase.
Yeah,
but...
tire changes would have been fine. I love the fact that he only has one form as Kamen Rider Chaser though.
Yeah, he only needs one, really.
It makes him stand out from the others. And I guess I would have given Mach his own form that isn't just Dead Heat.
Dead Heat,
Or I wouldn't have given Drive Dead Heat.
Yeah.
That's probably
that
what
toy
I would have
synergy.
Done.
You gotta have the interchangeable toys, or else the kids won't want it.
What was your answer again?
Oh, just survive.
What would it do?
Shit. It doesn't matter what it does. Just makes him stronger, just like the other survives. He's stronger, he's got a new weapon.
That's lame.
He's already, got the... Remember he has that, like, triple, I think it's called, like, Genocider or something?
Yeah.
That he, when he combines the three monsters.
Mm-hmm.
He's already got that, but still, like, I feel like survive is a step above that. I think he should have gotten survive and that, and that would have kept him sort of, like... keeping pace as, like, even though there's all this character conflict, there's also this crazy dude who is fucking people up left, right, and center.
Yeah.
That would have been a nice thing to have in the show and have, like, make some, like, single episodes to base off of if you need to fill some stuff out. That would have been nice, instead of just having him be normal like everyone else.
Man.
It's just when you have an upgrade and have only your two main characters get it in this big, huge brawl, it's kind of weird.
It's pretty lopsided, yeah.
It's quite lopsided.
I don't know. This is such a tough thing because I've discussed before that I don't think more forms is better in any way, shape, or form. I feel like it detracts from how special the forms that we get are to add more.
Yeah.
And it becomes like a walking toy commercial like Ghost where he's got 9 million forms and hardly ever uses any of them.
Yeah.
Shit, if I could give a new form to any rider...
What about a fifth Kuga form? If you had a fifth one, what would you do?
I'd make it gold with spikes all over it.
You know, he had a gun form in the planning stages? Like, like he had a huge rifle?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I wouldn't do that. I feel like the four forms is enough.
Four forms is like a good like setup for him.
Yeah. And like, what would the rifle form's like element even be?
It would be... gold.
With spikes on it.
Gold with spikes on it. Shoot spiky gold bullets.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
I would give... Knuckle got an upgrade, and it was
Knuckle got a stupid-looking upgrade, yeah.
It was dumb. Shit.
It's really dumb-looking. Has that been... That hasn't been subbed yet, has it?
I have no idea.
I don't think it ever got subbed.
I have
I'd
no
like
idea.
To see it. Think of your favorite writers.
Gattak should have been Hyper Gattak in the series, is my answer. That's it.
There's nothing wrong
with
that.
I would change certain things about certain series and certain forms, but I don't think I would add one.
You know what I would do with Kabuto?
What's that?
I would give masked forms to the Hopper Bros.
I would too. That's a good idea.
I was disappointed that they didn't have masked forms.
I would, if I could change one thing about Kabuto and one thing only, and I had to, it couldn't just be the whole second half.
last quarter.
The last quarter.
Third. Yeah.
I would probably give the B an actual user.
Like a straight, like one single guy?
No, it would go from hand to hand, but it would have a final user that it stays with for the rest of the series.
Okay, yeah.
Because the bee is fucking awesome, and when the bee's gone, I'm depressed.
Yeah, he's a vagrant at the end of the show.
Yeah. He just shows up for hyper form, and that's it.
Yeah. Ah, well.
I love the bee.
The bee is really cool. It's a slick suit.
I actually like Gattak better than the bee. Like,
well, yeah.
Suit-wise, as well.
Of course. The Gattak's suit is really awesome.
Yeah, Hyper Gattak should have appeared in the show, and that's it. That's my whole... They could have done time travel shenanigans to have both of them use the Hyper Sector at the same time, too.
Yeah, I mean, once you have time travel, anything's possible.
They weren't, like, keeping the rules rigid with time travel in that series at all, so...
Yeah, there's time travel fuckery all over that show, and it's so weird. It's
there's a couple things that happen like towards the end of the series, like before Kabuto gets the Hyper Zector, where Hyper Kabuto is just standing in the background. Like the camera will like move, do like a shot of a background shot, and he's standing behind a pillar watching.
Yeah, I remember when I saw that, I was so fucking confused.
Yeah, me too.
What I thought was happening was that they built a Hyper Zector and they gave it to someone else and that Kabuto was going to beat that guy and take it from him, but it was just him from the future.
He's just, like, going back in time and hanging out.
Just staring at himself. He's, just, God, that's what the back of my hair looks like. Oh.
And he's watching himself like, oh my God, I'm so good. I'm so good. The Tendo from that time is like, who's that fucking creeper beating off in the bushes?
Oh. Yeah.
You know, Tendo That's would weird. Go back in time and have sex with himself. He's that big of a narcissist.
He'd probably do that. He'd be the one to pull that,
yeah. I know none of that answered your question for me, but at least Liam gave you an actual answer. Thanks for writing in, Alfie.
Thank you.
And that's all the email we have this time. We don't get enough emails. You guys should send us emails at writerclubradio@gmail.com.
Also, follow us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Writer Club Radio.
We tweet fun stuff. We tweet cool stuff. We're pretty much the coolest thing on Twitter.
We tweet t-shirts.
Fuck
That's
off.
Your thing. You wear t-shirts.
I tweet a lot about cool t-shirt deals for splash wallpaper design t-shirts. So
yeah.
I'm trying to tweet things that are more interesting as well. Nobody's complained yet.
Good. That's a good
sign. I'm looking forward to that.
So follow us on Twitter and send us an email.
Yeah, send us emails, absolutely. We're running low on emails from you assholes, so send them in.
Yeah.
I mean, you great people.
You human beings.
You amazing listeners. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
See you.